A reading from the Holy Gospel of Luke. Jesus took Peter, John, and James and went up the mountain to pray. While he was praying, his face changed in appearance, and his clothing became dazzling white. And behold, two men were conversing with him, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his exodus that he was going to accomplish in Jerusalem. Peter and his companions had been overcome by sleep, but becoming fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As they were about to part from him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." But he did not know what he was saying. While he was still speaking, a cloud came and cast a shadow over them, and they became frightened when they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my chosen son. Listen to him." After the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. They fell silent and did not at that time tell anyone what they had seen. The good news, according to Luke.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
In today's gospel, we heard Luke's account of the transfiguration of Jesus. It is one of those rare mountaintop events of life, a little beyond full explanation, linking us somehow with the mystery of creation and eternity. It offered Jesus a confirmation of his path of ministry. It gave Peter, James, and John a glimpse of the transcendent, a peek at a reality beyond their everyday lives. But Jesus quickly led them back down the mountain, back into the daily routines of preaching, teaching, and caring for the hurting. What is real? The mountaintop with its glimpse of glory, or the messy muddling of daily ministry? What is real? Real life. Is it an intense encounter on the mountaintop, or is it the daily grind? Is it the promise and hope of salvation? Is that what is real? Or the fears and tears that come our way today? Is reality the dreams and plans we pursue, those high-held goals of life and love? Or is it our repeated failures? The realization that we haven't quite put it all together, that our reach has exceeded our grasp once again. What is real? Is it the policies of our communities or our nation? Or is it the experience of being at odds in our attempts to build a better world? Real, our vows to love and nurture, the fully intended promises to care, the visions of harmony and laughter, or the moments of anger and disappointment, our too frequent quarrels and sullen silences? Or are we facing reality and doing the right thing when we respond to a disappointment by sighing, "Well, that's life"? Or is that giving life a bad rap? Are we correct to say, in those precious moments of delighted contentment, "Now this is really living"? Or is that too charitable a conclusion? What is real? What's real in the church? Is it our prayers and worship, our confessions of faith, and our hope of heaven one day? Or is it our acts of kindness, words of encouragement, and other concrete expressions of our faith on ordinary days? I watched a basketball game. It was well played. What was real? Was it the long hours of conceiving and practicing the game plans? Oh, was it the 40 minutes of implementing those plans? In the church, what is real? The prayers, plans, and dreams of the congregation and council, or the carrying out of those plans? By now, you realize, I'm sure, that again and again, the answer has to be, in some sense, well, both are real. A game plan without a game isn't much. And a game without a game plan is probably worse. Action without vision is often worse than useless. Yet insight without implementation doesn't do anybody any good. Life is much more than its cumulative moments of misery. But life cannot be detached from its burdens and cares. Life surely dwells in the daily grind, but we may never be so fully alive as we experience one of those rare, intense mountaintop moments of life. Reality is where Jesus and human beings come into contact. I like that sentence. I stole it from Arne Halvorsen, a preaching professor. Reality is where Jesus and human beings come into contact. It means, to use the imagery of St. Paul, that when we turn to him, allowing Jesus to be our model and guide, we begin to perceive life with some clarity. The veils that blind us in our self-contained agendas are pulled back. Our vision of reality comes into sharper focus. It means that if we want to get a clear idea of the shape or scope of life, of reality, we do well to look to Jesus. When we look to Jesus, what do we find? On the one hand, we find a Jesus who takes us up those giddy heights to the mountaintop, those intense moments in the hospital room or Bible camp, or when we fall in love, or really feel forgiven. That's all real. But we also find a Jesus who leads us deep into the hearts of children, into the homes of the helpless, to the pain of the wounded, or the routines of tending to one another. Jesus is there, in the dirty, foul cot of the paralytic. Jesus is there in the furtive fear of Zacchaeus. Jesus is there in the joy of a wedding dance. And Jesus is there in the aching loneliness of a bereaved person. Jesus is there at the repeated failures of his followers. And he is there in our successes. Wherever the haunts of human living lead us, we soon discover that Jesus is there. Reality embraces our dreams, our visions, our hopes. I used to think of those old Negro spirituals as a sort of escapism from the terrible reality of slave living. But it was no escape. Those songs were powerful and necessary reminders that reality was larger than the cotton fields and chain gangs. They didn't attempt to claim that pain and persecution weren't real. Nobody knows the troubles I've seen. It's no Pollyanna pretense. Those deep, vibrant songs were a witness to the fact that there was more to reality than the burdens of the day. Reality is where Jesus and human beings come into contact. As we look closely, we discover that Jesus not only encountered human beings in the extraordinary and the routine, but he repeatedly led them where they hadn't expected to go. Behold, I make all things new. And suddenly, all our wonderful plans to earn our way to God are swept away with the promise of grace, the power of the cross, and the offer of salvation as a free gift. Behold, I make all things new. And suddenly, we're supposed to serve those people we want to lead. Pray for those who hate us and forgive beyond measure. Behold, I make all things new, and suddenly people whom I've never seen, living in countries I cannot even pronounce, are declared to be my brothers and sisters in Christ. Reality is where Jesus and human beings come into contact. Wherever that is, wherever it may lead, we also discover that love is there. God is love. God so loved the world that he gave his Son. Love one another as I have loved you. Jesus meets us in love. Love is the DNA of reality. There's a wonderful classic children's book I mentioned, I hope you've read it, entitled The Velveteen Rabbit. It's a charming mixture of fable and insight. The chief character is a small stuffed bunny who comes into a little boy's life at Christmas and not long after finds himself discarded. The other primary character is the skin horse, who has been around the nursery for a long, long time. I'd like to read you a bit of the book. For a long time, the Velveteen Rabbit lived in the toy cupboard or on the nursery floor, and no one thought very much about him. He was naturally shy, and being made only of velveteen, some of the more expensive toys quite snubbed him. The mechanical toys were very superior and looked down upon everyone else. Between them all, the poor little rabbit was made to feel himself very insignificant and commonplace. And the only person who was kind to him at all was the skin horse. The skin horse had lived longer in the nursery than anyone else. He was so old that his brown coat was bald in patches and showed the seams underneath. And most of the hairs in his tail had been pulled out to string bead necklaces. He was wise, for he had seen a long succession of mechanical toys arrive to boast and swagger, but by and by break their mainstrings and pass away. And he knew they were only toys and would never turn into anything else. For nursery magic is very strange and wonderful. And only those playthings that are old and wise and experienced, like the skin horse, understand all about it. "What is real?" asked the rabbit one day, when they were lying side by side in the nursery. "Does it mean having things that buzz inside you and a stick-out handle?" "Real isn't how you are made," said the skin horse. "It's a thing that happens to you. When a child loves you for a long, long time, not just to play with, but really loves you, then you become real." "Does it hurt?" asked the rabbit. "Sometimes," said the skin horse, for he was always truthful. "When you are real, you don't mind being hurt." "Does it happen all at once, like being wound up?" he asked. "Or bit by bit?" "It doesn't happen all at once," said the skin horse. "You become. It takes a long time. That's why it doesn't happen often to people who break easily, or have sharp edges, or who have to be carefully kept. Generally, by the time you are real, most of your hair has been loved off." and your eyes drop out. And you get loose in the joints and very shabby. But these things don't matter at all. Because once you are real, you can't be ugly. Except to people who don't understand. I suppose you're real, said the rabbit. And then he wished he hadn't said it, for he thought the skin horse might be sensitive. But the skin horse only smiled. The boy's uncle made me real, he said. That was a great many years ago. But once you are real, you can't become unreal again. It lasts for always. You and I are truly loved. That's what happens when there is contact between Jesus and a human being. Whether it's up on a mountaintop, in the tedium of ordinary life, or down in the pits, or in crucifixion, or resurrection, reality is where human beings and Jesus come into contact. In your pain, or in your joy, in your grief, or in your celebrations, in your visionary hopes, and in your daily tasks, God is there in love. And living in divine love, we are real. This has been borrowed from Augsburg Sermons number 3. I invite your reflections.